Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Transformation Zone. I'm your host, Belton Schell, and we're excited to be back with you this evening. We've taken a little bit of a break, but we're here live and in color tonight, and we've got some hot stuff we want to talk about this evening. You know, I just came off the road, and I've been speaking to a lot of sales operations throughout the country, and it's just been an amazing time for me, and so I've learned so much by talking to different people and getting different perspectives from them on their sales effort, and what makes them great, what makes them effective, and how they can do things to really set the bar and set the stage. So, you know, one of the first questions that has come up, not just today, but comes up on a regular basis that I ask every sales person that I encounter is, who is your best customer and why? Think about that for a minute. I really want you to take some time and let that sink in. Who is your best customer and why? You know, many years ago when I was running a sales operation for a major hotel chain, we had a situation where we asked a lot of our sales team, who is your best customer and why? And the answers that we got from them were no different than the answers that I'm getting from a lot of people across the country. One of the regular answers I get is, well, you know, we've been working with this particular customer for about 10 years. They're very loyal to us. Whenever we're in town, they will see us. They take our calls. They come to all of our events. And they're just good people to be around. And I'm like, I say to them, okay, that's great. But what makes them your best customer? Well, the relationship and the fact that, you know, they accept our calls and they are really responsive to us. My question to them is the same question I'll ask you tonight. And how do you measure that? How do you measure your best customer? What tools do you have, or what things do you have in place that distinguish your ability to say, this is my best customer? This is the customer of all customers. This person is why I get up every day, or people like this, or customers like this, are why I get up every day and do what I do. And they allow me to be successful because of these particular factors. It's amazing because in a lot of instances, our factors are based on emotion. They're not based on measurable, tangible things that will allow us to rank or grade our customers. So think about it this way. If you look at a customer, you have to ask yourself the question, why am I in business? Well, I'm in business for most of the time for one reason. What is the reason that we're all in business? We are in the business of making money. We are in the business of generating revenue. We need cash flow to allow us to continue to do what we do. So therefore, if we are doing the right things, if we are chasing the revenue and the cash flow, that should tie into who our best customer is. So our best customer, first and foremost, write this down, needs to be the customer who generates a specified amount of revenue. If our projection for the year, and I'm going to keep the numbers kind of small, if our projection for the year is to generate $100,000 this year, then we need customers or customers within our market segment that will generate $100,000 for us. So if we need customers that will generate $100,000 for us, does that mean we need five customers that will each generate $20,000? Does that mean that we need 10 customers that will generate at least $10,000 a piece? And you see how the math works out. So just for our purposes tonight, we're going to say we need five customers. These are our top five customers, and these customers will each generate a minimum of $20,000 with us on an annual basis. So if we've got five customers, our best customer has to generate a minimum of $20,000 for us on an annual basis. And to achieve that $20,000 benchmark, there are certain transactions that that customer has to go through with us. If it's buying a product that costs $20,000, if it's buying multiple products that cost $5,000 a piece, if it's buying multiple products that cost $1,000 a piece, this customer, when it's all said and done, has to generate enough business with us that they are giving us $20,000 a year through multiple transactions. I'll come back to that in a minute. The other thing that we have to look at is customers that are working with us on a more regular basis are apt to continue to work with us over the long run. What do I mean by that? Take a customer who has been with us for the last 10 years, and they work with us pretty much once a year, twice a year, every 18 months. But if they work with us in an 18-month period, they've done over $20,000, because remember, we put the stipulation on them that they have to do at least $20,000 a year. So in the last year, they've generated $20,000 for us. And again, we'll just build this as we go along. Say their average transaction is $5,000. So during the course of the year, they do four transactions with us that are generally around $5,000, which builds to the 20. So they're doing four transactions with us on an annual basis, which means they are pretty much buying from us, and I'm making an assumption here, on a quarterly basis, trying to make it simple so the numbers kind of come together and you get a picture of where I'm going with this. So our best customer has to generate a minimum of $20,000 a year. This customer that we've identified fits that premise. Their average purchase from us is $5,000, and they purchase generally from us four times a year. So there are three things that we've just identified that are very important to us when we look at who our best customer is. Number one, we set a revenue benchmark. Number two, we have set what we call a reoccurring transactional engagement with them, which means we can count on them doing business with us within a certain period of time, be it every month, every 4 months, which is every quarter, twice a year. We know that they're going to do it, and we just said this, four transactions, each worth $5,000, which means once a quarter, we can count on them doing business with us, okay? So now we want to make sure that this customer who has this reoccurring transaction with us, it's a frequent transaction, so it's been very recent, within the last year, 18 months, or as this customer is quarterly, so the recency of their transactions and the relative frequency of their transaction with us means that we are in touch with this customer. We're doing business with them on a regular basis, therefore fortifying our relationship from a revenue standpoint as well as a value standpoint, because they value us as their trusted advisor because they're coming back to us on a frequent basis. And a lot of times when you're in a relationship with a customer like that, they will come to you first before they will go to someone else, because the relationship that you're building is so strong and you're building the relationship with the right person. The other thing is that you want to make sure that this person has multiple product purchasing power. What do I mean by that? A customer who buys one product is important, but a customer who has the ability to buy multiple products is even more important to you. We want to sell a customer multiple products. We want to sell a customer a variety of the things that we produce. So if a customer has the ability to spend at least $20,000 a year with us, they have the ability to spend, to have reoccurring transactions with us that have occurred very recently, and they're buying multiple products. They basically have hit the four most important targets in identifying our best customer. Our best customer has to hit our revenue target, which will allow us to hit our overall revenue target. They have to do business with us frequently. I'm going through this one more time. They have to buy multiple products for us, and they have to have done business with us within a specified amount of time. Okay? Once we identify that customer, and once we set those parameters, our next target is to go through our database of prospects and do our homework, whether our homework is done based on past history and past transactions with these customers, or if it's done based on us doing additional research of their potential. Remember something. It's 10 times more expensive to find a new customer than to rekindle a relationship with an existing customer who we have not realized their full potential. And I can guarantee you, based on my experience, that in every database of every major organization, of every corporation, even a small business, there are customers that are currently in your database that you don't know enough about to determine whether or not you are maximizing their full potential. You don't know what their average spend is, not just with you, but with your competition. Have you ever sat down with a customer and asked the question, what do you normally spend on an annual basis on the types of products that I sell? And you have to rephrase that in a way that makes sense. But that's really what you want to know. What's your annual spend? What's your annual budget for products and services like the ones that I provide? And then sit back and listen. Because I think what you'll find out in a lot of instances is, even though you're getting a good portion or a fair share of what they produce. Sorry, folks, I got disconnected briefly, but I'm back. And where we were with this, again, we're examining our current customer base. And the last statement that I made is, even though we're getting our fair share, or what we think is our fair share of their business, are we really aware of their full potential? Do we really know what it is they have to offer? Not just to us, but to the marketplace. And if we don't understand that number, we really don't understand what the true potential of that customer is. If they've been with us for a while, we have some historical information and we can benchmark ourselves against what we've done historically or done in the past. But the question that we have to ask is, are we getting more than we should? Are we getting enough? Or how much is out there that we haven't tapped into yet? I used to have a boss, and when I was a sales manager, and even as a director, he was one of the vice presidents in the company. And he had this attitude, and we thought it was a little bit arrogant at the time, but he used to say to us, we don't want to know what our market share is because, frankly, I don't want to share my market with anybody. It takes that kind of mindset to win. It takes that kind of mindset to turn the page and turn up the heat on your competitors. If you're not willing to share your market with anyone, then you're going to do the things that other people won't to eventually have the things that other people can't. And they can't have what you won't leave on the table. So what we really want to know is, how much business have they done with us in the past? And how much of that is, what percentage of their overall potential is that? Because once we know that we're getting at least what we used to get from them, and they fit our ranking as a top customer, but there's more potential out there, we can then start to steal from our competition. We can then start to fortify our relationship so that we can then siphon off things from our competitors that they may be getting that we have the ability to satisfy the customer's needs without them having to go into another dimension to get it. So again, understanding what you're getting first, understanding who your top customers are and what of their potential you are commanding, then allows you to start to move the needle in the market. Now, we've covered a few things, and we've gone over, number one, identifying our top customer. How do we identify our top customer? How much revenue are they generating for us? When is their last transaction with us, and how frequently are these transactions happening? And how many products are they purchasing from us? There are four very, very simple things. But they are very, very powerful because once they're put together with an average of how much revenue you need from your best customer, the magic begins. And the magic begins because of this scientific approach to sales, the scientific understanding of who this customer is and how it fits together. Many of you are probably sitting there going, has this ever been tested? And some of you who followed me on the radio have probably heard this story in the past. This little exercise that I just took you through is an exercise that we utilized in one of my sales operations where we took an office and we not only took a look at who our best customers were, we applied these four principles to them. And we applied a magic bullet to that last principle. And then I'll say this to salespeople. If you've got $1 million account, in that $1 million account, there are certain individuals who have the ability to command a higher percentage of that $1 million than others. Those are your key customers. Those are your top customers. Those are the people that you want to fortify yourself with. Those are the people that you want to maximize your relationship with. So if you've got $1 million account, there may be 35 to 40 people that can generate a portion of that $1 million. But there may be 10 key individuals to generate $900,000 out of the make. You can deploy yourself against all 35, or you can cherry pick the 10. If you cherry pick the 10 and fortify your relationship with them, I'll let you in on a little secret. The other 25 will want to do business with you also, because they will see the benefits from the 10. When we changed our sales operation that I spoke about a minute ago, we did just that. We took million-dollar accounts, and instead of focusing on the account, we focused on the top individuals within the account that could generate the kind of revenue that we were looking for. And we just deployed our sales resources against those people in a proactive fashion. We called them frequently. We talked to them as much as we could. We visited them. We sent them gifts. We did everything we could to entrench and fortify ourselves with those people. And once we achieved that, we were able to maximize the percentage of the $900,000 or the $1 million that they had. What happened with that? We took a sales operation from $24 to $98 million in less than 5 years. Based on the four principles that I gave you in the beginning, based on the fact that we deployed ourselves not against the account or at the account level, but at the individual level, which we refer to as the contact level. Corporations like Microsoft, corporations like Google, key individuals within them, even though there are millions of people that work for them, that have the ability or the purchasing power to purchase specific products from specific salespeople, regardless of the industry. But there are some that have more purchasing power than others. Who are they? How do I get to them? How do I entrench myself with them? And how do I determine what of the four factors that I outlined, how do they stack up in that area? How do they give me what I'm looking for? Once you understand that, once you determine that, the rest falls into place fairly easy. So salespeople, entrepreneurs, and people who are just trying to grow your business, my question comes back to the initial question. Who is your best customer and why? Do you know? How do you determine who your best customer is? And how do you measure it? At the end of the day, to measure your success. Because success will check your credentials. Success will measure your effectiveness. And success never, ever, ever goes on sale. You have to pay full price. You've got to put in the work. You've got to do what's necessary to take your sales performance from average to outstanding. And I guarantee if you take a look at these four concepts and this overall format that I laid out for you, it will do miraculous things for your sales performance, for your business's performance, and for your success. I appreciate you tuning in tonight and spending this 30-minute segment with me. I hope the information that I shared with you was helpful. Next week, we're going to have a guest who's going to come in and talk to us about a convention that's really exciting. It's a hospitality convention. It's going to be held in Miami, and it's going to be held August 3 to 6. And our guest is going to be Mr. Courtney Palmer, who is the president and CEO of Palmer & Palmer. And he's going to share with us some insight on his upcoming conference. So tune in next Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. We'll be here, and we're excited, and we'll welcome you just like we did tonight. Again, transform your thinking, ladies and gentlemen, and you will transform your world. I'm Velton Schowell. I'm your host, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye.